What's up, guys? Welcome to Just So We're Clear, a podcast brought to you straight out of Singapore with your host, Marissa Tru, and myself, Hanley Hofer. Now, if you've listened to us before, well, you know the deal. But if you're new here, well, hey, welcome.
So on this show, we cover pretty much everything to do with modern life. Female empowerment, sex, mental health, finances, you name it, we do it in the most uncut way possible.
Mm-hmm. So grab a coffee, maybe even a glass of wine.
No, definitely some wine.
Light a scented candle.
Or maybe you're at the gym or you're cooking your dinner. But consider this next hour your time to feel like you're not alone. Because trust us,
we get it. It's Just So We're Clear. Well, happy holidays, everyone. We back. We've missed you. We hope you've had a good Christmas, Hanukkah.
Kwanzaa?
Do people, I mean, we're in Asia. Do they?
Yeah.
Okay, well.
There's a synagogue, like, really close to mine.
If that falls under your lifestyle, happy that. And welcome back to Just So We're Clear.
Happy New Year. Will we hit New Year?
How do you feel about it being the end of 2022 already?
Mixed.
Okay. Let's start there.
I think for all of its ups and downs, this has actually been a fantastic year. That I'm a little sad that it's ending. Because I always feel like every single year, it's not like a continuation. It's like each year is its own little chapter of a book. And this one was a really, really interesting one. So I just don't know what 2023 holds. And I'm kind of not ready to let go of all the fun that 2022 has been.
Okay, that's a good answer. I am very excited for 2023 to come around. Because while this year had its greats, it was a really hard year. This year has been one of the biggest growth years for me, I'd say, in the last, like, 3 years. Four, three years. I mean, like, on one hand, we've finally out of this feeling of pandemic. I feel like the last 6 months has really, like, secured, like, we're back.
It's so interesting that you say that, because I feel like I let go of that maybe a year ago.
Well, like, I say that more in regards to Singapore because, like, the whole, well, okay, think about it this way, right? For me, at least, a big part of my job is events and, like, hosting events.
The lingering part of it is still happening.
And we didn't have, like, a great season in the last 2 years in terms of, like, my career, in terms of events and events hosting, because they just didn't exist. And so, like, now in the last 3-4 months, I've been hosting, like, every week, attending events, and, like, just getting my coin back, which feels incredible.
Oh yeah, it's disgusting.
It's amazing. Like, I'm finally making money again, like, at the level I was pre-pandemic. Like, hallelujah.
Yeah.
That's why I say that, like, I feel like we're finally out of it. But also, like, this year was huge for me. Like, I went through a whole heartbreak, like, ashes. Then came out of it like a phoenix at one point. Like, I healed. I did so much healing this year.
Wasn't this your Saturn's return? Right?
This is my Saturn's return.
Yeah, which is why it makes so much sense that so much change was concentrated in such a fixed period of time.
Yeah.
Right?
Like, I fell out of a relationship. I'm pretty sure I'm falling back into a new relationship.
You act like that's got a question mark on the end of it.
It's just like these things happen at a pace that you can't control, but as they do, all you can do is surrender to it and let the experience be as intense as it wants to be. And intense has been the best way to put 2022. Yeah. So I'm happy that it's coming to an end. If it just means that it's going to allow, like, some space for just, like, a deep sigh for next year. Like, so, I just don't want to feel the dramas of 2022 and 2023.
So you're looking for the exhale part all of this.
Next year, I want stability.
Interesting. Because I feel like this year wasn't marked by kind of the deep pains that I think you went through this year. I think that next round is a little farther in the future for me because it was a couple years back. But I think the intensity that this year carried
has only revved the engine more for me. It was kind of like I pushed the boat out this year. Like I focused so hard on my career and I am so proud of what I've accomplished with it. And I feel like I've found this really happy medium in terms of my social life, my professional life, my family life. The health bit we're still trying to figure out because mm-hmm. I feel like my health took a toll this year. But I want to see where all this momentum is going to get me to next year. Like mm-hmm. next year is such a big question mark. It's still a black box to me. I don't have plans. I just have appetite for it.
Okay. That's a great way to enter the new year. But, you know, since this is sort of our season wrap of Just So We're Clear, we're going to be taking a break for a few weeks just because life, travels, work, blah, blah, blah. We don't actually know when we're going to have a next episode. But why don't we use this episode to kind of do like a quick little roundup of like a self-inquiry.
Reflections?
Reflections.
Reflections of 2022.
Let's do this. Let's ask ourselves and to you, our amazing audience, you know, like, what's something that we want to look back on at 2022 and sort of, okay, let's do two things. Let's start with two. Let's like say something that we're incredibly proud of ourselves for. And then let's say something that we want to improve for next year. Let's create that seesaw of balance. Mm. What's something that when you look back in your life, and these are great journal prompts, but what's something that you can be like, you know what? Fuck yeah, me. I did that. And I'm so proud of myself for doing that.
Do you have yours?
I have mine. Hardcore.
I think I have mine.
Okay. So can I go first?
Yeah.
Okay. So like I said earlier, this year was a huge year in terms of the heart department. I had my heart crushed. I went through the deep journey of heartache and recovery. And I'm also entering a period of like new love, which is exciting and scary all at once. And so I'm really proud that regardless of what life has thrown at me this year, I have always stuck to my authentic approach of life, which is to live unapologetically with my heart forward. I've always been a deep romantic and mm-hmm. I've always been proud of that side of myself. And there comes a cost with being a deep romantic because in my definition of what that means, it means that like I love to feel the feelings. And so like
you got a lot.
And I have a lot of them. So like when I'm feeling ecstatic, I like savor each moment of my ecstasy with like just everything I have. And I try to be so present in it. But in the same time that I do that, I do the same for grief. And when I'm like in it and I'm sad and I'm down, I like really sit in it. And I really like soak myself with my sadness. And even though this year has thrown so many like different shades and flavors of all the emotions on the spectrum that come with love, I still manage to navigate it exactly as I am. I never changed my approach to it. I never stopped approaching life with my heart forward. I didn't let the fear stop me from living in my true self.
Right. So it's basically no matter how much challenge you had or how much pain was being, you were being put through, you never shied away from it at any given moment in time. If anything, it kind of consolidated how much you wanted to lead your life with this emotion forward.
Sometimes when people feel burned by love, it kind of like creates limits for them for the next relationship. And like sometimes that like when you get hurt, you get too scared to be hurt again. And so it like can like stop you from exploring or being bold or going towards things that are scary like love. So I'm proud of myself for going towards the scariness of love, even though I got really burned by it this year.
Yeah, no, I think that's beautiful because I would put my hand up and say I am one of those people who gets very frightened at the prospect of how much love can hurt and mm-hmm. therefore have blocked myself off from a lot of it. Mm-hmm. And like, like I've enjoyed myself a lot in just sort of keeping things light and playful and casual, but it's not, there is definitely a deeper awareness that I am genuinely afraid to go down that path to that depth again. Mm. So I don't know that I could do what you do.
It's terrifying. And I swing like a pendulum. So like just a bit of context. In the last 2 months, I started seeing someone and it's been such a beautiful journey to like connect with this man. We were friends before, so we kind of like entered it at a different stage than you would like your, I guess, typical dating style. And it's been like a real challenge for me to allow myself to let these beautiful feelings of joy and desire like re-enter my life whilst I just being very mindful that I just like healed the wounds of the last relationship.
But I think it was also because at that point in time when you had ended your last relationship, you had set a standard for yourself, or you were trying to break what you considered to be a pattern of, like, I don't want to just fall back into the next one again and kind of kick off the next cycle, or like to repeat the pattern, when I guess what it sounds like is you're not seeing this pattern as something that has to be broken, because it's actually something that you resonate with and that you carry yourself with a lot more.
Yeah, I like that, because I think it also like challenges the notion that patterns are negative.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
I don't think that I have a negative pattern. Like when I look back at my love life and my history, I was very fortunate to not fall into like toxic situations or like be in situations that were like red flag central, but I didn't know because I had some sort of like inverted commas, like pattern around it. I think like, if anything, my pattern, like to use that word again, is that like I let my heart be the one that leads.
Right. So maybe it's changing the idea of a pattern being inherently damaging or bad or something to be broken, and noticing instead whether it is something that actually enriches you. So I think if we were to put like a very umbrella description of your pattern, it's that you find yourself in relationships very quickly and very easily. You don't spend much time single and alone and to yourself and to many people. I mean, think about it, like in therapy and all this like self-awareness lingo, we always talk about codependency, and it's like, oh, you can't survive on your own sort of thing. But then I think in your case, it's kind of this idea of, that's not to say that being in these relationships hasn't offered you more. Like you've
exactly.
enriched yourself
so,
in those experiences.
So here's something to consider that I think is true, is that you don't need to be alone to heal. You can.
Some do.
Some do, but you don't need to be alone to heal. Like sometimes relationships, situationships are healing. Sometimes like it, you know, it doesn't mean that they're the forever people, but sometimes like when you get out of a situation that made you feel really bad, and then there's someone who comes and reminds you that actually, no, you're kind of amazing. And then you use that person's like guidance to guide yourself back to remembering your worth. Like that to me sounds healing. And yes, there is a line that can cross the codependency, but I think it's very different per individual. And like that person's like differentiation is their journey to figure out. But we shouldn't put limits of ourselves on like, we need to be alone to heal just because of what we've heard and think about what codependency means and what it means to be alone to do all that.
So
like you can do both.
So I guess it's just basically not being overly prescriptive about the idea of what recovery or what healing from heartbreak looks like.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And also, I do think there are definitely people who are better off experiencing it alone, because I do think there are definitely people who will just attach themselves to any kind of relationship for fear of being alone. And the best way to stop being afraid of being alone is to be alone. So there's definitely that element. But again, like different strokes for different folks, right?
Yeah.
Like the way you recover, the way you kind of come back to center and remind yourself of who you are doesn't necessarily have to be the same way someone else does.
Mm-hmm.
Like for me, it's coming back. It was being alone again and reminding myself that I actually do very well on my own. So I can see there's an immediate contrast in how we would take those approaches.
For sure. So coming back to like that heart-led approach in life of what I'm really proud of, like that's it. And that also comes with a lot of healing, obviously. I'm also really proud of all the serious work I did into my introspection, of all the tears and truths that I uncovered in like a lot of intense therapy sessions. Shout out to my therapist. I feel like that should be on a t-shirt. Like that I would wear proudly, because she really helped save me in a lot of spaces. So yeah, 2022 was a... What's the term? I want to like put a little like title on it. It was like a
heartfelt.
I was going to say like heart battle, heart war, something
with emotional boner of a year.
Emotional boner. Raging love hard on.
The emotional blue balls of 2022.
Yeah, it was.
So what we need is release.
Release. So next year, just chill, girl. Chill. Let your heart chill for a little bit.
Love an emotional boner. Who doesn't love a boner?
Who doesn't? Who doesn't? Okay, so that's what's one thing that I'm proud of in 2022. What would you say is the thing that you are?
I think for me, the proudest thing I will take out of this year is been my openness to new experiences. Like, I pushed myself this year to every single time I had my instinct of, oh, no, Marissa, we don't do that. I went, no, we're not going to define ourselves ahead of that experience. We're going to experience it and then decide how we attach ourselves to it. And so every single thing became like, I was almost like a yes man to so many different things. And it was exhausting and it was tough. And there were definitely moments where I was like, this doesn't feel natural at all. Or am I crossing a line here? But I think all in all, we discussed it a couple episodes ago, actually, that I just kind of came to this groundedness of, okay, now I know who I am a lot clearer. And now I'm understanding the difference between the things that I want to experience and dabble in and play with versus the things where I'm like, I've tried it. It's just not for me, sort mm-hmm. of thing. And that's been really, really enlightening because it's pushed me in every single dimension. It's pushed me in the types of way I date, in the types of friendships I've engaged with, and the ones I've decided to no longer engage with. In my career, and my career has been the highlight of my year, I went to town trying different things and like seeing what I was capable of and also what kind of balances I could strike between, you know, my professional ambitions and like how hard I just wanted to party or how much I just wanted to relax. And that's actually given me probably the clearest sense of my worth in years.
Mm.
Like, I know both who I see myself and how other people are starting to perceive me and being able to reconcile those images and be like, yeah, I really, really like who I'm becoming.
Yes, that is the best trait in any one of my favorite people, which is just openness. Like open-mindedness, because there comes a certain humility with people who are open-minded, because to enter the world and to try new things is an admittance that you don't know anything, so you need to learn. And I love humble people because they're the ones who are actually the most intrigued in life, because they're like, I'm not going to pretend to know it all. Let's try and see let's learn.
Yeah.
And that being curious, being open is just like the sexiest qualities in anyone.
And so that was
this is me calling you sexy, by the way.
I was gonna try brush past it because I was getting so uncomfortable with it, but I love it. No, but even in, you know, realms like spirituality, where I'll give you a lot of credit, where you were like, you need to open yourself up to in your famous words, just try it.
I will say that till my dying days.
Yeah, but it
I'll be on my deathbed like, how's dying? Just try it.
Oh, so peaceful. But yeah, those sorts of things. And also realizing that I think I've always had an openness to things and sort of understanding what I don't know. But it was always coming up against this perception of myself that I thought others had of me having all the answers.
Okay.
I always felt like I was supposed to be the one that kind of already had things figured out before it actually gone out and tried a whole bunch of stuff.
Oh.
And so it kind of, it was a little bit of this weird intellectual paralysis. And I can't really articulate how it felt, but it was just kind of this, you're supposed to know the things that you should be wanting to try versus shouldn't need to try sort of thing. And that was so dumb. And it was very naive.
Okay.
But it was almost guarded by this idea of like, you're not that person to other people. So like, that's not your public brand, I guess. And therefore you don't need to entertain it. And that was such a strange.
Like no one's out here expecting you to know everything.
Exactly. But I don't think they were, they weren't expecting me
but
to know
everything.
But
you thought that they
expected that. I was expecting
that.
To know everything for them. I don't know how to.
Well, okay. I think I can understand a little bit. Is that your intellect and that big old five head of yours,
it's virgin on a six, I swear to God.
In that big old head of yours, your intellect is your safety blanket.
It's my anchor.
It's your anchor. And
that's
like
a great
that's
way to put it.
And that's the thing that's really kind of like being your anchor, your cape, your safety blanket for like a good chunk of your life.
Yeah.
And so to have that be questioned or totally internal, by the way, have yourself question your own safety blanket and your knowing, like, that would have been reflected outside.
Yeah, it was kind of this thing of, I know, like, intellectually, academically, I'm very, very intelligent in that respect. But it was coming to acknowledge the limitations of that, or how far that could take me only.
Yes, because you can't gain, like, experiences and, like, spirituality and, like, the unknowing and that realm, feelings, all that gray area. That's the shit that is so, like, unknown. And so that's the kind of, so that's why your past self would have had, like, a resistance to it, because
it was kind of like this.
You don't know it while you're going in there.
Exactly. Yeah.
It was, and you can't study it unless going through it.
Exactly. Yeah. And it was kind of this, like, let yourself be dumb and, like, let yourself not know and ask all the stupid questions, which is ironic given my entire job is to interview people and ask the questions that other people are afraid to ask so that we can all come to, like, a greater understanding. But when it came to, like, my own individual experiences, I just wasn't letting myself do it. And so this year became this kind of fast track to experiencing a whole bunch of different stuff. And coming up to, you know, New Year now, I'm thinking, I'm just not done. Like, the more layers you peel back, you're like, holy shit. Like, it's like, you know, when you open a jar of, you know, one of those, like, steel tins of biscuits, and then you eat the first layer, and then you realize there's a whole other layer of biscuits, and they're different biscuits, and you're like, oh my God, there's more. And you're so excited because you don't know what those flavors are. It's that feeling. Mm-hmm. And I think the part of it that I'm proud about is the fact that I know those experiences always make me nervous. They make me anxious because I don't know them. But I'm just doing it anyway.
So we actually have a common thread in the thing that we're proud of. Like, there is a commonality in this. And it is that we're going towards fear. We went towards fear.
Ooh.
We did. You went towards fear in an experiential sense. And I went towards fear in an emotional sense.
Mm.
And both of these resulted in us learning more about ourselves. And so, like, if I can, like, kind of summarize it, what we're proud of is that we did the hard things in order to connect to the inner sides of ourselves deeper.
Yeah, I think
because we're both sitting here, like, at the end of the year being like, I gained a knowledge about me from my experiences. Like, that's the answer of what we're proud of. We're proud of, like, the parts of ourselves that we learned about from the direction we pushed ourselves into, even if it was scary.
But that's the thing that I find so intriguing is this fear aspect of it, right? And, like, the fight or flight response. And I don't think we fought it, and I don't think we escaped it either. It was almost like it was an embrace.
You must always go towards the fear. And if you're scared, Will Smith said it, do it scared.
Yeah. And I think I will give myself credit for doing a lot of things scared. And not just this year, but over the last few years. I think when my kind of earth was shaken a few years ago, it was actually during 2020 when it felt like every single pillar that I had built up fell away and I had nothing left to give. Everything became a source of, like, oh, I don't know what I'm doing. And I feel like in, like, that thread from 2020 up until now, approaching 2023, fear has really become something of a friend.
Well, it should be. Fear should be your friend.
Fear. But it's so interesting, though, because think about it. If everyone says fear is something to overcome rather than to embrace and use, like, fear is something that you defeat.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think that's necessarily been true for us.
No, I actually think we can totally challenge the notion that you must win over fear, because to put an idea out that you defeat it means it's done, which is not true, because fear is like a sneaky little wizard that will continue to find its ways to pop up. So you
sneaky little wizard.
It's Voldemort, let's be real.
But, like, which version of him? Like, the little...
Oh, no, definitely the Philosopher's Stone one, because that, to me, is the scariest.
Oh, yeah, he was so icky.
Dude, having a head at the back of your bald-ass head... No.
Under a turban. Oh my God.
Dude,
Professor Quirrell.
Gross. That gross. Anyway, we're getting sidetracked. But that to
is
me
fear.
But that is fear. Befriend it.
Fear embodied is Voldemort. Sorcerer's Stone.
It lives in your head. Like, literally. But But it's true. I think like that is that's a beautiful like reflection for both of us, is that don't try to defeat fear, because that's unrealistic. Befriend it and not fear it. Don't fear fear. Don't get the anticipation of doing something actually block you from doing it.
Yeah, because the thing is, yeah, fear is always going to ebb and flow. And if it disappears in the thing that you try, it's going to reemerge somewhere else. And the attitude that you approach that situation, if it's going to be the same as the first time you overcame or embraced fear and moved through it, then you're just going to keep doing cool shit. Like,
it's so funny, right? Because we're also like on opposite ends of what our fear gave us this year. Because I was like, I'm going to go towards the fear of like, you know, having feelings and maybe getting hurt again. And you just said earlier in this episode, like, that's the thing that, like, you would never do, right? So, like, and for me right now, I don't think it's, like, the things that you're doing with the experiences and all that. Like, for me, that's, like, that's not been on my horizon at all this year. This year has been so introspective and internal that, like, I haven't really been doing, like, crazy experiences and, like, that kind of, like, new things. It's just...
But I do also think, like, for you, a lot of the things that I'm learning or coming to experience for the first time are things that you already have over the course of the last decade or so.
Yeah, yes. But I also am, like, the person I was when I was going through that experience is, like, she's such a different person from who I am now.
True. That's fair.
That it's, like, I wouldn't even say that I've done it. Like, a different version of me did it.
Sure. Yeah.
So
yeah, yeah.
I wouldn't say that if it came up that I would be like, yeah, sure. I actually don't know.
Yeah. But it's so interesting how those fears, like what those things are, like what you apply that, like the situations that you apply that to, whether it's again, career, relationships, family, friends, like health. I mean, even something like taking your first martial arts class, like it's so nerve-wracking, but like just that exercise and teaching you, oh, I really don't like this.
Yeah, just do it.
Yeah,
just do it.
So okay. The other thing you raised was like, was what okay. You're going into for next
year. So now we rounded up beautifully that the thing that we are proud of 2022 was going towards the fear, which like
holding hands with
high
fear.
Five, look at that, that's gorgeous.
Fear's cute. Fear.
The follow-up question, it's what's something that you feel like you can do more of? Like, what's the improvement side of our lives for next year?
So our resolutions. So room for improvement.
Room for improvement.
Things we have not done enough of this year.
We could do better for ourselves next year.
I think for me, I've already started it. But we can still make a lot of progress in terms of emotional vulnerability.
Okay.
For sure. Mm-hmm. So this goes back to what we were just saying about that's still an area that I hold a lot of fear around. And I'm chipping away at my own armor because I have met people recently that have demonstrated that not everyone is going to eventually hurt me in some way. So I would like to open up emotionally to more people. So what I learned over this year, especially, you know, with our podcast, like we're always very open, we're very honest, and we're very vulnerable. But what I've learned is that I draw a fuzzy line between being very open book and genuinely being vulnerable. And I'm not genuinely being vulnerable all the time. It's almost like a controlled vulnerability.
So, okay, I totally relate. There's a difference between being an open book and being openly vulnerable. 100%.
Yes. Like this podcast, I think we've always said, yeah, we're being very vulnerable, but I think we're actually being very open book. Because we have talked about some of our raw wounds, but we've never really shown them directly. So like, let's go back to, you know, all the way back earlier this year where we did the eating disorder episode. I think that was probably the most vulnerable I've ever been on this podcast. And that played on me for weeks afterwards, where I was like, I feel so exposed. And I realized then that that was such a foreign feeling. I hadn't let myself feel that exposed in a very, very long time. So now I'm like, oh, we're not actually doing that as often as we perhaps should be. And I think I need to practice that a bit more. I'm not going to say I'm running into next year being like, oh my God, I'm bleeding everywhere. I'm just saying that I need to learn when I'm safe to let my guard down a lot more than, because I'm a very stoic character. Like, I keep composure as and when required. And I would like to be able to let that go a little bit more next year.
Okay, that's a good one.
Yeah.
That's a good one. Because that is, yeah, that's well said. Like, you, we are open books because we have the ability and the self-awareness to, like, conceptualize our vulnerabilities in a way that it becomes a story.
Yeah,
and it's almost not,
like, we put a bow on
it. We know how to share about ourselves without it being in the raw. But it's a very hard thing for people to show their raw.
Yeah.
It is across the board. And so, like, for you to recognize that that's a department that you'd like to work on is incredible. Because, yeah, like, that actually scares me. Like,
it's terrifying.
It's terrifying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I think, I mean, you and I are both very media trained. So we know how to articulate very raw emotions in a way that, like, we still feel a little shielded. We still feel like people will, we can deliver it in a way that people are going to understand. And the thing about vulnerability is not even questioning whether people are going to figure it out or understand it. We're just showing just it for open. What it is. And that is terrifying. Like, so I don't actually think this podcast is necessarily the most appropriate medium for us to be vulnerable on, but it's for us to explain areas that we're trying to work on being more vulnerable. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I think I always thought that I was being vulnerable on this podcast. And it was only over the course of time that I realized, no, I've talked about it, but I've not actually shown it here. And I've not shown it in a lot of other areas as well. But I was able to talk about it in a way that made it sound like I was vulnerable and made convinced me that I was being vulnerable.
So we're going to be more real next year?
I'm going to cry so much.
Oh, my God.
Well, I mean, like, think about, okay, like, our friendship. When I'm down and out, I know I can go to you and have, like, a full mental breakdown. And then you're going to, as uncomfortable as you might be, being like, oh, I don't know what to do. You're still the person I feel safe enough to do that with. But I don't, I think that's just, like, it can't be confined to that. You know what I mean?
Like, you cry in front of other people?
I do cry in front of other people, but it's just, like, it's, like, not cute.
Well, girl, you're in luck because I'm going to do so many more women's circles next year.
Think about your women's circle. I cried at your women's circle.
Like, that was vulnerable.
I was a mess. Oh, that was vulnerable.
That was vulnerability.
That was very much vulnerability.
That was beautiful. Okay, well, I will definitely invite you to them. And I'll invite the rest of the podcast. Guys, it's going down next year.
If you want to see Marissa be vulnerable, you have to come to the women's circles.
Yeah, you just come to one of them.
It's like,
it'll happen.
Just so we're clear, upsell.
Okay, can I go? Are you completed?
I'm good.
Okay. Well, that was already vulnerable, what you just shared. So good start.
Ooh, I'm so good at this. I'm a natural.
So for me, next year, the thing that I could improve on, I'm ready to shed a sense of identity.
Which one?
And what I mean by that is this year, like I said earlier, like, I don't think I did a lot of new experiences this year that gave me that confidence that you're talking about, that gave me that inner knowing, that wisdom that you can only gain through experiences. And so next year, I want to push myself to do that. Like, I really want to, I want to be uncomfortable. We're going to be experimenting.
Woo!
I want to be uncomfortable. I want to be in positions where I know nothing and I want to feel like I'm going to do my first class of martial arts. I want to feel that and just go towards it.
Do you have an example of something that you know you've held yourself back off from trying that you want to try?
I want to get more into the arts. Like, I'd love to do theater.
See you crying on stage.
Yeah, this is what I mean. Like, I really want to be on that level of discomfort. Like, I would love to do theater. I'd love to get back into acting. Maybe I want to, like, get into, I don't know, like,
some Broadway.
Maybe, I don't know, something performance related, because, like, I am a thespian.
Like, I could see you with, the top hat and the little cane and the little dancing.
Yeah, no, I want to do something on stage involved in drama. So that for me, like on a career level, like I want to get back into that and I want to feel the discomfort for that. And maybe theater. It's been like playing around in my mind for a while. And secondly, I want to get a lot more connected to nature.
Dude, you do that already.
And
that's
spirit.
Not you.
But I want to do it in a more ceremonial sense.
Oh.
You know what I mean by that? Like, I want to actually, like, maybe study or travel and do ceremonies abroad and just kind of really tap into that lifestyle that I've had exposure to before when I spent a lot of time in Bali.
Mm-hmm.
And it was new for me then. And actually, when I think back in the last 3 years, like, it was those experiences that made me feel that fear of, like, this is uncomfortable because I don't know what's going to happen and this is new for me. Mm. And this is so alternative that, like, I don't have any answers. All I can do is sit in. I want more of those, like, alternative, like, out there experiences. So Broadway and ceremonies.
Yeah. Broadway, plant healing.
Yes. I didn't want to say it, but plant healing.
That broccoli and carrot combination is going to get real deep next year. That's so interesting.
Yeah.
And then in 2024, plant healing on Broadway. You should write a play.
Yeah.
Where everyone in the audience
gets microdosed.
Yes.
It would be awesome. And it probably won't be in Singapore, let's be honest.
No, it cannot be here.
But what was I going to say? No, so also a big thing for me next year will be community.
Mm.
Like the women's circles thing.
Yeah.
Like that, I really see that being like a big anchor for next year. And I want to travel less if I can help it so that I can actually be here to cultivate that community that I have in mind.
That's such an interesting thing that you mentioned because – so this year, I mean, think about – you and I have both traveled so, so much.
Too much.
Too much.
Too much. Yeah.
But in a way, I've kind of come out of that thinking, I've planted seeds of community in all these different places that I've been, that in the next year, I want to go back through them and water them.
Mm.
So I'm not kind of seeing Singapore as like this grounding of my people are here, my community's here, and I want to invest more time. It's I have to invest my time across a lot of different areas because I want to see all of those flourish.
Mm.
And it's going to mean that I may have to spread myself thin again, but there's so much value in the people that I've met in those spaces that I want to invest my time
so
in.
So like you want to travel for people.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like every single time, if I think about the places that I've been this year, every single time I've gone, I've loved the destination. There's always been this little thing in my mind of, oh, I could live here. But the reason that those experiences have been made are the people I keep connecting with there. And they are so different in each space. And they all cater to a different side of me. And again, going back to this idea of like wanting to experience all sides of me at their fullest, it feeds me in a way that I didn't expect it to. So as tired as I've been, I have never felt more kind of fulfilled and charged at the same time and excited at the prospect of what all of those communities are going to basically bring back to me.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, community, like once you really like have hacked and discovered the value of it, to you as an individual, you realize that like relationships are everything.
Everything.
Relationships is what create the space around you. And like investing in your community is what will actually give you like a satisfying and fulfilled meaning of life because you'll have love from all different angles and like you'll feel supported. And we are a communal, like we're communal species. Like we need each other. So that totally makes sense. And like, I think it's like it's two levels here. You're saying like you want to go and water the communities overseas for you. I want to root deeper and expand the community of my people in Singapore.
Mm-hmm.
Because like, you know, sometimes we don't have the option to actually travel. But another way of escapism is just through connecting with people who are so different from you. Because like the thing that I learned when I sat and I did to a few of these women's circles is that like when I got to drop in with different people who I may not necessarily have the exposure to. It really gives you like this refreshing like mindset reset, because when you hear about other people's lives, it really puts yours into perspective as well.
Yeah, exactly. And that's absolutely what I've experienced over the course of this year in meeting all these different people. These are people that past me would have probably never engaged with because I wouldn't have understood how to connect to them. And in all these experiences, those have opened up the opportunities for me to connect to them on those levels or on levels that make more sense for them that I've come to understand, that I'm like, oh shit, you're cool. And I love like the diversity of people that are out there. And like, I've never expected to feel so at home with so many strangers. And I love that feeling.
And also like, we must continuously challenge ourselves to connect with people who are different, because if you only stay in the same social circles, you end up in an echo chamber.
Oh yeah, that sucks. That's boring for everyone.
But that's happened to me before. I'm sure at one point in your life, you've kind of been like,
"Yep,
are these friends my people?" Because we all evolve at different stages, and you kind of like maybe you or just grow or have different interests, and you lead towards different paths in lives. But like your community can evolve and change as well. But you must push yourself to go and seek those others in order for you to broaden your mind.
Yeah, I would give myself credit for the fact that when I found myself in a social grouping that just kind of felt a little too samey, I was always like, I almost had like a natural instinct or an appetite to find something that would challenge it.
Yeah.
And I always go out and be like, okay, like let's hang out with these people and then kind of rejig our thinking or keep everything balanced. So yeah, I think that is a skill. I think people, because it's what we've discussed before, which is the relationships that help you resonate and then reach a higher self versus the one that kind of keep you the same.
Also, remember how like around different groups of friends or around different like one-on-one relationships, you get to unlock different sides of yourself that you don't have with other people.
Yeah, like I'm ratchet Marissa with you. And then and also soulful and spiritual Marissa. And then, you know, and then I'm like British lad with someone else. Like there's so many different
So many different versions of ourselves that we get to access through community and different people. So like actually like that definitely is the thing I want to do more next year. Like different people, different mindsets, different like just openness.
Are we gonna go make more friends?
I think we have to. I think we're saying all this shit and we're
making a lot of promises right now.
I wanna make one new good ass friend next year. Like at least. Cause I know that last year I really like solidified a friendship where I was like, ooh, we're gonna be friends for life. And I like I just like, you know when you're like at 30 and you make a friend for life, it just like it's so cool.
But also I think there's I've heard this phrase so many times and it never clicked with me where people are like, I have enough friends.
Yeah.
I'm like, listen. Like I get the whole, you know, keep less than one hand's worth of people close to you, but I've never agreed with that. Like I have so many different kinds of best friend that it doesn't make sense to me to just, I'm not saying I need to be friends with 500 people. I'm just saying that like, there are so many people who feed me in different ways. There is no way I'm going to rule out a potential future friend.
Yeah.
You said that.
Well,
you said I have enough friends, but now we're saying you need one more.
I would like to challenge myself on that.
Good. You should. Friendship is great.
I think the reason I said that is because I did feel for a while that in Singapore, like the social circles I kept kind of like revolving throughout were kind of like
stagnant.
Not stagnant in like a negative way, but yeah. But like I didn't feel like
you're a little too steady for you.
It was a little steady.
It was unchallenging.
Exactly. And like, you know, I've lived here my whole life. Singapore is a small network. I'm sure anyone out there listening growing up in Singapore, you guys know. Like Singapore's small. Everyone knows everybody. Like it's hard to like break outside of these little cycles and circles that everyone is somewhat connected to. So like, expanding the community beyond those circles. Like that's what I want. Meet people who I would have never, ever been able to meet through that.
Come with me on my business trips.
Girl, I would love to. Free room?
Yeah, you can bunk with me. Just pay for your flights. Like, we go party with strangers. Can't it's
pay,
fun.
Pay for my flight?
I'll talk to them. And then, of course, the one that we have to both bring into next year, and I think is going to be something that everyone listening is also probably thinking about, is we really got to do better with how we relate to our bodies.
Oh my God, the body image thing.
For real, for real.
I saw this woman on TikTok, and for the millionth fucking time, Marissa, I get TikTok, but I saw this woman on TikTok.
Every time you tell me to do it, everything in my body's like, no,
God damn it. I'm so sick of sending you reels. It's so much better on TikTok.
It's like press share, copy URL, paste it into WhatsApp.
Yeah, anyway, so this woman, and she was so right. She was like, I have a husband that loves me. Every one of my family members are healthy. I have a comfortable life. I have a beautiful house. I have food on the table. I get to go on holiday. And she listed out this like true list of all these privileges. And she's like, and today I woke up and I felt shit because my legs rub.
I was going to be like, because her thighs touch?
Because her legs rub. And she's like, what the fuck? There's so much going on that's amazing. And the only thing that I'm fixating on is how my thighs rub.
Mm-hmm. But that's the thing, right? Like, it's not really about the body in that moment. It's more the self-critic finding something to hook into to make you, like, to put you into a state of self-loathing. And, like, for many of us, our body is the first thing because it is the most visible and it is the easiest thing to criticize. And therefore, we go for it. And someone wrote into us ages ago being like, can we talk about how much your body changes between your 20s to 30s? And it's true. It does. And no one told us that because they told us it was going to happen in childbirth or menopause. But in actual fact, our bodies are going to change throughout the entirety of our lifetime. And we better get fucking comfortable with it, because otherwise we're always going to be mad. And we're always going to do that thing where we look back at photos from a year ago and be like, oh my God, why did I complain then? I was so much better then. So stupid. So stupid. And I think we all need to find a way to break the back of that critic. So,
like, honestly, sometimes when I daydream, I'm daydreaming about that new healthy routine that'll get me back on track. Like that, like just because I could get so fixated on trying to balance out like the negative thoughts that come up when I don't, like they just happen like automatically about body image when I'm just feeling low.
Yeah. And I think it's also this idea that we hold ourselves back from stuff we want to do, whether it's like a place we want to go and be seen or even an outfit that we plan on wearing, because we're like, I won't do that until I get my body into this shape sort of thing.
If only I ran 5K 4 times a week.
But think about how much we rob ourselves of those cool ass experiences that actually have nothing to do with the way that we look, just because we thought that the way we looked would matter in those situations.
So
it is
true.
So dumb. Like, I was sharing with you an instance where, like, I'm a strong girl. I go to the gym, I lift really, really heavy weights, and that means that my body puts on a lot of muscle, and that sometimes makes me feel like I'm not necessarily the most feminine form. I don't fit into a lot of clothes because my shoulders are broad and my ass is huge, and, like, it does hurt my sense of femininity a lot and makes me really, really body conscious. But recently, a guy told me that I had huge thighs, and instantly in my mind I took it as an insult, and I was like, well, fuck, like, he's pointed out a reality or a part of my body that I was already unhappy with,
like, and he's
confirmed to me that that is true. But this guy said it in the most complimentary and positively intended way that I was like, oh shit, I was the reason that I took that as an insult. Like, he meant that as the purest form of flattery, and I went ahead and tainted it because I don't like having big thighs, when actually I could just be like, thanks, my thighs are big. They are. They can hip thrust 150 kilos, as it turns out. And I was impressed by that.
150?
But, bro.
Jesus Christ, Marissa.
It is nuts.
150 kg hip thrust?
Yes.
What the hell?
Exactly. Crazy. And it's, very frankly, impressive. But there's me being like, oh, but I'm ashamed by what that means my body looks like. Mm-hmm. Look at what I'm capable of.
Yeah.
I could hip thrust and save someone from a burning building. Like,
you could hip thrust a car. Actually,
yeah.
Could you?
No, I couldn't hip thrust a car.
A motorcycle.
I could hip thrust a motorcycle to save someone.
To save a baby.
To save the baby.
Yeah. There we go.
Yeah, but it was just this idea of like, why am I training so hard to feel so empowered in my own body, only to hate what that looks like from the outside. Mm. That seems dumb to me. And it's just knowing that it's dumb isn't going to stop the fact that it's happening. But at least it's like one step in the direction of we need to address this. And I think it goes for a lot of people.
Oh, God, girl. I totally get you. I mean, like, we have different journeys and stories of what body image means to us. Mm-hmm. But that does not mean that, like, it doesn't happen. Like, I mean, like, for my experience, I've always been, like, the beauty standard size, more or less, because mm-hmm. of my job and what I do and just, like, genetics. But because I have had a, like, a long period of, like, knowing what that feels like, that when I'm not in that, like, everything feels like it crumbles.
So it's like, what happens when you're no longer the it girl?
When I'm no longer cover girl worthy in my mind because of, like, bloat, flab, softness, life, and everything that comes with womanhood. But when I don't feel like I am that way that I previously have experienced and also got a lot of success over.
I think that's because, yeah, a big part of yours was there was actually a dollar mark attached.
There was worth.
Your body.
Status. Jobs.
Professional success.
Like, social, like, status. There was a lot that came with just pretty privilege and body hot privilege, you know? And I did a lot of work onto it.
Yeah, but you know that didn't change, though. Like, you didn't lose any of that.
I know, but because that has happened, the pressure to maintain it can be a lot. And I know that this is a common woe that happens in the industry, but, like, you get so hell-bent on trying to hold on that if you don't, like, it really does feel like shit's crumbling. You're like, oh my God, who am I without this? It's the toxic edge of working in front of the camera.
But it's so interesting because your media exposure has put you on a pedestal as, like, you are the aspirational body type look figure. So everyone else that doesn't match up to that criteria has, like, the pressure to look like something that they don't actually look like because they weren't blessed with your genetics. And then
On the other side of that,
knowing that you feel all of that, it's like, well, if she's, like, cracking under this, then what the fuck are we supposed to think? Like, all of us uggos down here are struggling, and now Miss Beauty Queen is also having problems, and we're like, well, then what the fuck does that mean for me?
Trust me when I say that, like, every woman in the industry has felt this way. Like, everyone that has...
These are hot people problems.
No, but it's, like, these body image woes, they don't have any prejudice. They hit up everybody. And so, if especially for this one, I'm going to, like, lean it towards us sisters. If the whole females, if all of us...
Ladies,
if we could just chill on that and find a way to hack it so that it doesn't take up so much space in our heads. Just, like, for 6 months. Let's see what that's like. We would really love to just experience it.
Yeah, it'd be over for everybody.
Yeah, it'd be over.
But if you think about it, like, again, everyone's talking about body neutrality, but I think the meaning of it keeps getting lost in the noise, which is, it is not to say that you are just going to come to accept your body. It is to acknowledge that you're going to feel great about your body on some days. You're going to feel really, really shit about it. But if it's holding you back from other things, that's where things get dangerous and things get bad. That's where you need to focus on where body neutrality really needs to take root in your life. Like, I am not necessarily comfortable, like, physically comfortable with how I look in the mirror at the moment, but is it stopping me from going out and doing stuff? Absolutely not. I will not allow my body to rob me of things that I value. And that, even if it's the dessert that's on the menu that I really want to try, like, don't do that. Go for it still. I think that's something that we really need to embrace, that, yeah, you may not like how you look in the morning. You might feel a little bit of guilt. Don't let it stop you from doing the thing that you want to do. Really, really, really. That's the only advice that I could drill into our audience. Let it be that.
Live your life, girl.
Wear the bikini.
Live that fucking life.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, now, this has been a longer episode than usual, but it had to be long.
It was the season finale.
It was like the season like wrap up, exactly. I think we touched on a lot of gorgeous ass points.
Look at us, so woke.
And look at us. And like usual, we would love to hear your perspectives. And like, you know, even if you just want to tell us in bullet point, like, what was something that you were really proud of last year? What's something that you want to improve on next year? Like, we are all ears. And also, I want to take this moment to just give like a special shout out to you. This has been the third year that we've been doing the podcast. Mm-hmm. And guys, this has also been the year that our audience has grown the most.
It blossoms.
Like, we've been trying at this. We've been trying to be consistent and honest and continuous of creating the show and to actually like have that reflected in the amount of listeners that tune in every time we drop an episode, to have that reflected in the people who write in with their honesty and their troubles and their praises, even like just like the little comments you guys make and replies to our stories, just to feel like this this volume of talk out into the airwaves is being received is like incredible. And no. Like, yeah, we are so grateful for you.
It is the most amazing feeling. Every single time we get a message about someone's ability to connect to this and watching our numbers grow, and also just the diversity of people tuning in.
Oh my God.
The number of men who are now listening to us, that genuinely means an insane amount, because it's kind of made us realize that we didn't just strike a nerve with, you know, modern Asian women, which was sort of like how we wanted to position ourselves when we first started this podcast. It's become addressable to everybody, and it's allowed everyone to understand each other in a way that maybe they didn't before. And that has probably been the most rewarding part.
So I also want to give a shout out to the moments that, I don't know, maybe you have, I don't think you've, anyway, but the moments when I actually get to meet some of you in person. There was a girl the other day who I met at this event, and she said that she listened to the podcast. And she said, thank you for doing what you do. And she teared up.
Oh.
Yeah. And she was like, thank you for helping others feel like they're not alone. And she literally teared up. And I was like, about that. I was like, oh my God. And then I met a woman on my dog walk, and she was pushing her baby. And she was like, I listen to your podcast. I'm a new mom. And like, I'm alone with the kid. And I listen to you guys. And then I bumped into this woman at Wonderfruit. Mm. Sold kimonos, and she was like, you did your podcast, I listened to you. And like, that is the juice of life that I just want to continuously have.
Oh, absolutely.
So like, if you see us on the street,
say hi,
like chase us down, because we promise we will reciprocate it with the same energy as this, which is just like immense gratitude.
So much gratitude. Because yeah, like there is an aspect of this where you're like, are we saying anything important? Is this going to land?
Knock, knock, who's there?
Yeah, like, are we just talking to a microphone and people are listening to him being like, okay, then.
Yeah.
But when people tell us straight out, and I actually had a colleague tell me straight up, he was just like, I've sent this to my sister because I realized this is what she's needed to hear for a long time. That kind of stuff, you don't get over. Like, people have asked, you know, why do you do the podcast? Is genuinely for that. Like, nothing matches that feeling of knowing that you've affected someone positively, even in the most fractional of ways. It is, bar none, the coolest feeling ever. You guys are the best.
You're the fucking best. And we will be back next year. And we already can't wait to do a giant check-in there. But for now, thank you so much for being on the journey. Oh my God, I'm getting a little emotional.
Love you forever.
We love you forever. And just so we're clear, we'll be back. Ah, okay, bye.
Bye.